Okay, we said, I don't remember, but it could be the last year, could be previous years. We said a shmooze on this similar chazal, which was very much connected to the shmooze that we said, the last shmooze that I said on Wednesday. So I want to say a different shmooze today, even though it's close, similar chazals. But first I just want to review quickly that shmooze because it connects to what we were saying Wednesday. We have here that Esav comes to go ahead and kill Yaakov. We have Esav has this tremendous, tremendous hatred for Yaakov. Rashi brings a chazal, halacha b'yaduah Esav sonei Yaakov. Halacha means that it's nifsak for all the dairis. It means that today, probably a few thousand years later, when it's already after the mice of Yaakov and Esav, if someone is a descendant of Esav, it's a halacha that he hates Yaakov because it's so much in his genes. We have that Esav, this is already, Rivka told Yaakov to wait Yamin Achadim until she'll call him because she just assumed that the hatred would go away. But this is 30 years later, more than 30 years later, and Esav still is full of hatred. He meets the Malachim. You know, I would think if you see Malachim, that would scare you off. Doesn't scare him off. He's still coming. He has this tremendous, tremendous hatred for Yaakov. So the shmooze that we said last time, which might have been last year, I don't remember, is that we know that Yaakov attempted different ways to try and get to appease Esav's hatred. One of the ways that we have clear is that he tried to show Esav that he loved him. The Rabag says that he sent him a message about how much money he has, which was a way of saying that he's his friend because you only divulge personal information to people who are you're friendly with. Right? I think we said that last time. It was Rabbi Cohn. He gave him a bribe. He gave him presents. These are all ways of showing a sense that we're friendly. So the Maisa didn't work. Esav did not go ahead and say, oh, Yaakov's my friend. Even at the end, Rashi says that it was for Rachmanis. But we said last time in Shmooze that Yaakov had a Havamina. Yaakov's a pretty smart person. So he had a Havamina. To me, there was a good chance that it could have worked. So I think last time we said to Shmooze that even in Esav or Russia, now it's obvious Yaakov didn't really like Esav. Just like Esav hated Yaakov, I'm sure it was mutual. So here, Yaakov makes believe like Esav is his friend. And there was a Havamina that Esav would fall for it and say, oh, I'm not going to hurt you. So we said last time that you see how desperate, so to speak, with the continuation of last shmooze that we said, that you see how desperate people are to have friends, that Esav is so desperate that if Yaakov will make believe that he's his friend, oh, I have a friend, I'm not going to hurt him. You would think, obviously, you think he really believes it. Obviously, Yaakov's only acting because he knows you're going to kill him. He's not really your friend. 30 years, he never sent you a letter. All of a sudden, he sends you a letter. Oh, dear friend, dear my best friend, Esav, could you send me a check for $50? You know, like, come on, Esav, be a little smart. You know, obviously, Yaakov's putting on a show. But there was a Havamina that Esav would fall for it. Okay, that was a shmooze I think we said last time. That you see the power of how people want friends and the power therefore of being even making believe you're his friend, the power of a bribe, you know, all these things. But the Maisa, now we're this week, the Maisa, these things in Maisa didn't work. What did work? So Rashi says that because Yaakov humbled himself, and according to the final Pshat in Rashi, Hashem Bar Yochai, Halachu b'yaduah Esav sonei Yaakov. Really, Esav totally hates Yaakov. And a shenikmu rach l'bais hashav, that he had his rachmanis were woken. Bais hashav v'nashka b'chol libo. So, chayra, you think about it, it's a plea atzuma. Rachmanis is a midah taiva. Esav is a Russia marusha, right? I don't say he's a Hitler, but he's, you know, not exactly. But we believe Esav is a Russia marusha. The Sipurno seems to apply the same thing to the Romans, who were also Rishon, pretty tremendous Rishon. So here you have a person of tremendous Russia. What he wants to murder Yaakov. He's angry at Yaakov. He hates Yaakov. Yaakov's a guy that caused me so much trouble. Okay, Yaakov begs. He's begging. He has to humble himself. Good. That's what I want him to eat the dirt, and then I'm going to kill him. You know, you would assume that a super Russia. Why in the world? He's going to forgive. This is his dream for 30 years. He's dreaming of killing Yaakov, and he's not going to do it because he has Rachmanis. Where's Rachmanis? Shouldn't be part of Esau's vocabulary, right? Where we assume that Esau was one of the world's greatest Rishayim. So where does it come to have Rachmanis? And especially according to Sipporno, if you learn the Sipporno Kipshuto, it's the same thing with the Romans. These are also Rishayim. They have Rachmanis. You think of a Nazi, you could go and the Mai said they didn't have Rachmanis. But you think it's Shaykh, the possibility, maybe Yaakov knew how to do it better than other people, but they would have Rachmanis. They're monsters. So Esau's also a monster. A monster's going to have Rachmanis. So I think there's a tremendous schmooze here in what Shiva would call a godless Adam schmooze, that even in the biggest Rishayim, if you dig down deep enough, and you obviously you have to know how to do it, and Yaakov was a mumcha, and we maybe very likely don't know how to do it, but Yaakov as a mumcha knew how to bring out, even in the depth of Esav HaRasha, with always rishus, and this is his dream, but Yaakov was able to awaken in him a midah of Rachmanis, and that midah of Rachmanis ended up being so strong that it stopped him from fulfilling his dream. Esav has this dream for 30 years. I'm going to take revenge. I'm going to kill Yaakov. But the Rachmanis didn't let him do it. So what you see is that what Rishiv is to always say, that even the biggest Rishayim are created B'Tzalim Elokim. And even the biggest Rishayim, if you know, if you can get it, obviously it's not so easy. And this was, you know, Yaakov had to be the Godo and the Pikeach, and he had to use all kinds of tricks to get there, to do it. It's not necessary that we can do it, but that it's Maisa means it's there. That the person has, deep down, we're not saying Esav wasn't a Rasha. Esav was a Rasha Marusha. But no matter how big of a Rasha you are, you still have the meat of a Tzalim Elokim, and it's almost you can't help yourself. It's like sometimes an ani comes to you and asks you for money, and you give him, you're angry, you give him the money, here's your lousy dollar, never ask me again. But you almost can't help yourself by giving it, because that's the midah of Rachmanis is in the person. So even Esav HaRasha had a midah of Rachmanis that he almost couldn't help himself, that Yaakov was able to awaken, and thereby that midah of Rachmanis was stopped him from fulfilling his dream. So the first shmooze I think you see here is the shmooze in Godless Adam, that even Rishayim, Rashi applies it to Esav, the Sipporno is applying it to the Romans, that if you know how to do it properly, if you know how to bring it out, it's passable. I'm not saying it's mukhluch. For sure it's not mukhluch. Obviously it was a very... And it was, you know, it's definitely not mukhuk, and very, very often it doesn't happen. But it's possible, even in a Russia, to have awakened a feeling of Rachmanis, because for it, everybody's creating a Tzalim Elokim. And of course, the Nafkamina would be about ourselves or people that we deal with who are not on the level of Rishayim. Our roommates, our chavruses, most business people that we deal with are not on the same level of Esav HaRasha. So we should hear that there is, even if they seem to be mean, cruel, inconsiderate, that deep down there is a midas tovus and there's a midas rachmanis that can be awoken. Okay, that will be shmooze number one. Shmooze number two is Rashi's lashon is very interesting. Rashi says, "And a shenikmasu rachma shenikamrun rachma." Sorry, shenikamrun rachma ba'isa shah penoshka b'kol libo. So Rashi says ba'iso shah, which sounds like it's a miyut. Rashi doesn't say, which means that it sounds like that what Rashi's saying is Esav has this tremendous hatred of Yaakov. The hatred isn't going away. Yeah, he hates him. Halacha, Esav, sorry, it's Yaakov. Except that at that moment, the Rachmanis, somehow Esav, completely out of character, whatever, Yaakov was able to wake up his Rachmanis somehow or another, and he went ahead and he kissed him. What happened an hour later, 5 hours later, a week later? Pashup Shat, the Mashmos of Rashi, is that the Rachmanis was gone. We're not saying Esav walked around from now on. He was about Rachamim, Chas V'Shalom. Esav is this Rasha Marusha. It was a quirk, a thing that Yaakov was able to bring out, that normally that Rachmanis is so buried deep into Esav. He's a murderer. He doesn't feel Rachmanis. So, and that's what Rashi is saying. But Esav Shah, it was, in that Shah, Yaakov was able, since the Rachmanis is in Esav, it's there, he's in Salmet Elkim, so Yaakov was able, with special, with the things that he did, he was able, but Esav Shah, to bring out the Rachmanis. So the Chorek Asha, if an hour later, 5 hours later, a week later, for sure, the Rachmanis is gone, so what did Yaakov accomplish? So now Esau should come and kill him. What did he do? Yaakov is worried. Yaakov comes into Esau's territory, and he's worried that Esau's going to kill him. So he plays some kind of kishuf. You know, it's not real kishuf. It was real. Then they say kishuf means magic. But it wasn't real magic. And he goes ahead, and he's able to push the buttons and bring out that Esau should feel momentarily certain amount of Rachmanis, completely out of character, but he brings out that Midah, and he doesn't kill him. Okay, then Esav goes home, and I'm sure he thinks, wow, what got into me? I don't know. That's so out of character. I don't know what happened. You know, I was all ready to kill Yaakov, and all of a sudden I got this Rachmanis, and I didn't kill him, and I kissed him. I can't believe I did such a crazy thing. Okay, so if I was Esav, okay, if you don't succeed, try again. Come on, Esav is, you know, he's driven. So, okay, so you didn't succeed. Somehow or another, Yaakov tricked you or got you. He tricked you again, you know, third time. He went ahead and somehow he was able to get your Rachmanis. And, okay, you didn't kill him. So now kill him. So what I think there's a, you say, this already, you know, we said a shmooze, that you have a question answer. Is not the 100% mukhruch, but I think as mukhruch as I can be, that I think in this time, I think the answer apparently is that when you have an opportunity and you blow it, it's very, very difficult to do it again. That's human nature. Person, when he feels, you know, I already tried and it didn't go, I blew it, well, I do it again. I already tried. It's a certain a psychological, whether it's atzlis or just a feeling, I already tried, it didn't go, what, I should try again, you know, maybe it won't go again. It's just a certain feeling, even though, oh no, I'll make, logically, it doesn't make sense. This time I'll make sure, you know, I'm prepared for it. You know, Esav, if I was Esav, I would say, last time he tricked me, he got on my side of Rachmanis. Now I'm going to prepare myself. I know what his tricks. I'm going to get ready. Not going to let him get my Rachmanis. I'm going to kill him. But psychologically, Esav put so much energy. You know, he invested so much energy in trying to, you know, to go ahead and do it. So to go, and it didn't succeed. So now to go back again is very hard. I remember we went to Rav Zuckerman, that's how. Rav Zuckerman somehow knew the Rosh Yeshiva. I don't know how, because he was never in America, but he was from Radin, so he knew somehow the Mishpacha. He learned by, you know, he learned by the Rosh Yeshiva's father-in-law. He learned by the Chafetz Chaim. So I remember we were talking about the Rosh Yeshiva, he said the most amazing thing about the Rosh Yeshiva was that the Rosh Yeshiva here had started branches. And those who know the yeshiva's history, most of the early branches had a great deal of difficulty, if you know. Many of them ended up folding. If you know, we don't mention them anymore, but you know, there are many branches that did not succeed. You know, there was New Wave and Taoist. This is already the second Taoist we're up to now. Teaneck, I forgot already, Phoenix. There are a lot of places. Is that what? Montreal. Yeah, okay. Yes, and Montreal was the first one. Zuckerman said that a person should be able to start a yeshiva, take so much energy, such effort, and it folded. And what do? Okay, we'll try again. He says, you don't think here, that's godless. That's it. That he thought was like the amazing godless. To fill and to start again. And to fill and start again. I don't give up. So that is what you really, the concept that you see here, is that when a person doesn't succeed the first time, Esav, we assume, had the most motivation. Halacha, Esav's son is Yaakov. Esav has this tremendous drive. And okay, somehow or another, Yaakov was Ma'ir Rachmanes Ba'osah Shah, so he couldn't do it. But he still, now he has that tremendous drive. The drive isn't, he can't get himself to do it again. So I think it's the Musar Haskel is obvious, is that we have to, sometimes we think that, okay, if I don't do it today, I'll do it tomorrow. You know, what's the big deal? So okay, you know, I have the opportunity now and I'll let it go. But, you know, there'll be more opportunities, another chance, other chances. It's true, there are more opportunities, but it says sometimes it's not true, because sometimes, very often, when we blow the first opportunity, it's very hard, to even when we're motivated and driven, to get ourselves to do the second opportunity. As we find here that Esav just couldn't get himself to do it again. He never attempted again to kill Yaakov. They were together in the same country, the same everything, and he never attempted. So that it's his iris that we should make sure that on our first attempt, you know, if Esav would have learned Musar, he would have known, make sure, first attempt, make sure you kill Yaakov. Don't put it off. But luckily he didn't learn Musar. But Musar asks you for us is that when we're trying to accomplish something and some kind of interference comes our way, so you don't say, okay, listen, now it's inconvenient, it's not such a good time, it's difficult, so today we'll stop, and I can always come back next week, and if I change my mind and I decide, I'll do it next week. It doesn't work that way. A person, you know, example, it's not such a good example, but it's an example. There were so many guys in yeshiva who were learning in yeshiva, and then they decided they'll leave yeshiva to go take care of their, you know, college, and then they'll come back. And I don't want to say there was no one that ever came back. It's not true. But it was very rare, very rare. I know Dr. Brigida came back. And that's like the only one I remember. You know, I'm talking about leaving full-time, you know, not leaving part-time, leaving part-time, not leaving. But it's something when you do, when you're involved in something, you're in yeshiva, so there's a certain momentum. Once you stop, I'm going to stop yeshiva, I'm going to go, I'll take off the 2 years to go to college, I'll get my degree, and then once I got my degree in my pocket, I'll have muchas and nefesh, until I get married, I have nothing to do, I'll go back to yeshiva. It doesn't work, usually. Obviously, there are exceptions, but it's hard. Once a person stops the momentum, once a person tries something, once a person is involved in something, and he for whatever reason, he doesn't succeed, to come back a second time is always very difficult. And therefore, you know, the inspiration is that we have to take advantage of the first time to succeed the first time, because really we have to go with the attitude that we never know if there will be another opportunity.